Listen, seven, it says my salvation comes from me. The Course of Miracles says one of the definitions for salvation is right-mindedness, and another definition for salvation is forgiveness. So it's not like the traditional meaning of salvation, I think, that's taught in the Bible. And so it's also another term that he uses for salvation is healing. And another word that he uses for salvation is peace. So that's the same as saying my peace comes from me, my healing comes from me, and my forgiveness comes from me. My peace comes from me, my healing comes from me, my forgiveness comes from me. And it says that all temptation is nothing more than some form of the basic temptation not to believe the idea for today, which is my salvation comes from me, which is my peace comes from me. So the only temptation that we have is to believe that our peace comes from somewhere else other than ourselves. And in this particular workbook lesson, another term for salvation is innocence. So all temptation is nothing more than some form of the basic temptation not to believe the idea for today that our innocence or our peace or our healing comes from ourselves. So salvation seems to come from everywhere except you. So instead of saying salvation, I'm going to say either peace or I'm going to say either innocence. So it looks like peace or innocence seems to come from anywhere except you. So too does the source of guilt or anger or fear seem to come from anywhere except from you. You see, neither guilt nor innocence is in your own mind and nowhere else. When you realize that all guilt is solely an invention of your mind, you also realize that guilt and innocence must be in the same place. In understanding that the guilt that I feel is in my own mind, or the peace or the innocence that I feel is in my own mind, then I'm saved. So salvation traditionally is always identified as being saved. You know, I don't know about you, but I grew up in the Baptist church and they used to always say, have you been saved? What was your religious background? What was Catholic. Your Catholic?
Catholic.
So y'all know a bit about sin, right? Y'all heard you heard that a couple of times. What about you?
Catholic.
Yeah. You did. You did just like me. You did the double whammy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had, you know, like if I didn't get it good enough, I was Baptist for a while and Catholic for a while.
Whoa.
So it was like I got the guilt.
No, Catholic was enough.
Okay. So in looking at that first paragraph, what is it that Jesus is saying to us in terms of being saved? What is it that will really, really, really heal us? Would be the realization that guilt is an invention of my mind, that it's my mind that makes me feel guilty, and that the guilt and the innocence are both in the same place. So that means that all the guilt that I feel, and we can substitute other words for guilt. You could also use conflict or anger or lack or any form of lack of peace. He says, that's in my mind, but my innocence and my peace is also in my mind. And understanding this, I'm saved. Have you noticed that every time you feel fear about something, or you feel like there's some kind of lack, or you feel like there's something missing, that just going into fear seems to immediately trigger a response that makes you want to seek outside yourself instantly to change something in order to get back to peace? I've noticed that, like, the minute I feel fear about anything, there's a part of my mind that immediately goes, you need to change this, you need to change that, you need to go out and fix this, you need to go out and fix that. And then as soon as you do that, then the guilt will be gone, then the fear will be gone. And that's when I kind of get in touch with how much of the truth I really believe about the peace and the innocence being internally. As long as everything's going pretty good, I notice it's real easy for me to claim truth. It's real easy for me to go, oh yes, I create my reality, the innocence is in me, the happiness is in me. But then if somebody makes me mad, or I make myself mad about somebody, or the minute I become afraid about something, then I'm tempted to get right back into the old thought system, which is there's a lack, and I need to go out here and I need to fix that lack really, really quick. So he's saying, in understanding that if I'm feeling guilty or upset, it's in my mind, but also the innocence and the peace that I feel is also in my mind. He says, in that understanding, he says, that's when you know you're saved. He says, the seeming cost of accepting today's idea that your peace comes from you, that your innocence comes from you. He says that what it's going to cost me if I'm willing to accept that my peace comes from me and my innocence comes from me is that when someone says that their peace comes from them or their innocence comes from them, it means that nothing outside you can save you. And then whenever you see a semicolon in the course, it's just getting ready to restate the same thing again in another way. It says, nothing outside yourself can give you peace. It also means that nothing outside yourself can hurt you. Nothing outside yourself can disturb your peace. And nothing outside yourself can upset you in any way. So if I loop back and I go, okay, my salvation comes from me, that my peace comes from me, my innocence comes from me, my guilt and upset is an invention in my own mind. I'm the one that's creating it in my own mind. The guilt that I'm feeling or the anger that I'm feeling is also in my mind, but also the peace that I want to feel and the joy I want to feel and the happiness I want to feel is in my own mind. So that means, notice that how the Course keeps saying this means. It's like it constantly tells you what it means by everything it says. And then it says, well, what does that mean? Well, it means that there's nothing outside of me that's going to get me out of this feeling that I'm having right now if I'm upset. It means nothing outside of me is going to give me peace. And it means that nothing outside me can hurt me or disturb my peace or upset me. Which one of those meanings do you find to be the most difficult to believe? That nothing outside yourself can save you? Or that nothing outside yourself can hurt you, or nothing outside you can disturb your peace, or nothing outside yourself can upset you. Which ones do you feel is the most challenging one for you to accept? Nothing outside yourself can give you peace. Nothing outside yourself can hurt you, or nothing outside yourself can upset you.
Nothing outside myself can hurt me.
Mine is nothing outside myself can hurt me. What's yours?
The hardest one for me is nothing outside myself can upset me.
Okay. What about you,
Heather? Nothing outside myself can hurt me.
Interesting. Which one for you would be
the
most challenging?
The word disturb or upset are kind of the same thing to me.
Yeah.
Just thinking that I'm going to meet people and they're going to do things that's going to upset me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can it not just be human?
That's the thought right there. Like you said, how can it not be human? And which is interesting because the basic premise of the Course is that we're not human. And that's what sets the Course apart from other teachings. It's basic teaching is that we're not a body. But we are spiritual beings that are expressing ourselves through a human identity, through an identity we call human, but an identity that we call a body. And that's what I have to watch a lot. Like, I mean, you really hit on a key statement for me. It's like, how can I not? But I think about how I react so differently to things now compared to how I reacted to things 15 or 20 years ago. And 15 or 20 years ago, there's so many ways that I react right now that I would have swore to you that it wasn't possible for me not to react to those things. And you probably noticed the same thing, that even things that you used to be convinced you would never be able to overcome, you've overcome them. And in a sense, it's asking us to do the exact same thing now, to realize that even though it looks like you said, you can't help to have some people disturb you, or help to have some people upset you, or you can't help but have something seem like it could hurt you, there'd be a point in our spiritual evolution that we're absolutely also not allow ourselves to be hurt, not allow ourselves to be disturbed, and not allow ourselves to be upset. And then he loops back to the first paragraph and then tells you why. Because you'll realize that it's all in your own mind, that it's only you that can upset yourself, that it's only you can disturb yourself, and it's only you that can hurt yourself.
I can definitely see
the attraction to projection and blame. I it's not like I have a problem with that. It's like I can understand that. In one part of the textbook, he says that what happens is that we don't go beyond the obvious, and by stopping at the obvious, he said we don't get to the truth. See, for instance, it looks like another person can upset me. He says, that's the obvious. It looks like a person could do something and then hurt my feelings, right? He said that's so obvious to us that we never go beyond that. Okay, yeah, I'm hurt. You hurt my feelings. And he says, well, that's the obvious. But the truth is you have to go beyond the obvious. The obvious is it looks like you hurt my feelings. But my salvation comes from realizing that I'm the one that decided to and chose at some level to get upset about what you did. So the truth is, you didn't upset me, which is the obvious. To go beyond the obvious, I have to go, I upset myself.
Right.
I had a conversation with a friend last night, and I found myself becoming defensive. And what happened was, even though I was feeling defensive, I realized that it was an emotional feeling that I was having. What I like about the Course now is that when I feel anything other than peace, it's a hint to me that my ego is taking over. But it doesn't always mean that I can stop it. Because some reactions are so deeply ingrained that it'll seem like it's beyond your control. But so to me, even getting to the point that I can recognize that my ego is beginning to get involved is a big step. Just for me to go, okay, I'm beginning to feel upset, which means that I am feeling defensive. And so then if I am feeling defensive, who's making me feel defensive? So then it led me to, what is the thought process that's going on within my mind that would make me feel defensive? It wasn't about pretending I didn't feel defensive by trying to be positive. It was really about acknowledging what I was feeling and then asking myself, what is the thought process behind it? So what that person really did was triggered something that was already going on inside of me that I needed to look at within myself. So they still didn't make me upset. I made me upset. If I didn't have the conflict and feelings already in me, then they never could have got me upset. So what they really did was, what they really did was made me aware that I had some guilt or some fear about whatever that issue was we was talking about, and that that guilt and fear was already inside of me, or they could not have triggered it. So it gets to a point where we have to either claim the truth is true or not. It's like you get to that point on the path that you can't compromise anymore. You have to go, okay, if this is true and my upset comes from me because the guilt and the innocence or the peace or the conflict is in my own mind, then I claim that to be true for myself. That doesn't mean I might not still get upset. But now I need to be honest with myself and say, I'm upset. And then I've got to go beyond, I got to re-perceive it so I can let go of my upset. But they didn't upset me. I have to, even if I feel like they upset me, I have to say that, I have to admit that they weren't the one that upset me. It looks like you upset me, you know.
Yeah.
Like a person told me about this person that got that they knew that got shot and was paralyzed. And he just had a little child, and he was really excited about it, and somehow or another they went to... And so I immediately felt a lot of compassion, a lot of upset. You know, I immediately go, oh, man. Then I realized that, again, I felt upset, but that didn't upset me. It was my own reaction to what they said that upset me. So again, I was the one that made my upset. That's not saying that I'm something's wrong with me because I chose to feel upset about it. I just need to keep on remembering that I was the one that chose the upset. It wasn't that situation that created the upset. So then he goes to the next sentence. He says, today's idea places you in charge of the universe. Where you belong because of what you are. So you hear a statement like that, it puts me in charge of the universe. Like if I was to accept that my innocence and my guilt is in my own mind and my upset and my peace is in my own mind, it places me in charge of the universe. What universe do you think he's talking about?
The real
universe
of my mind.
The universe of your mind, exactly. He's talking about my universe. It's like we sit, like right now, it's four of us sitting in here, five of us sitting in here, right? It looks like we're all sitting in the same universe. But really, in a sense, we're not sitting in the same universe at all. First of all, I'm looking at you at an angle that you're not looking at me. So I'm seeing something that you all are not seeing right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking at what's, and you all are looking at me. And so you're looking at stuff that I'm not seeing, and vice versa. So the point that I'm making is we are all in our own personal perception of reality, and none of those perceptions are the same. I mean, literally, none of those perceptions are the same. I can see what's behind Keith, and Keith can't see what's behind Keith. So I got a perspective that he doesn't have, and he's looking behind me. So the Course is saying, if you want to be in charge of your universe, the way you get in charge of whatever is bothering you or upsetting you or happening in your life right now is to realize that your peace about it or your guilt about it is coming from inside your mind. Then he goes on to say, this is not a role that can be partially accepted. And that's what I just said a few minutes ago. You know, it's not a role that you can... And that's what I noticed about the truth is that we partially accept it. You know, it's like, sometimes I accept that I'm the one that's creating my feelings. And then sometimes I say it's somebody else that's making me feel that way. So I'm saying I'm in charge of my universe sometimes. But I'm not in charge of my universe all the time. He says, and you must surely begin to see that accepting that you are in charge of the way that you see things and feel about things, he says, that is your salvation. So what were you getting ready to say?
Well, this all came together for me and some other work I was doing. I was working on these deep emotionally held beliefs that were part of my script that I learned growing up with drunks.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was, rage is an appropriate response to inconvenience.
People are real good at that one.
Yeah, and so that's why I said upset. That one's, because that one was deep and it was emotionally backed. And I thought I was getting... This morning I opened up the refrigerator, I make breakfast, you know, and I was getting ready to do the fruit plate. And I pulled and I yanked off for the milk and I clipped a little container of fruit. And it hit and it went open. And the new chuck wasn't there. It was that. The old business was right there. My son was with me. And it was like I was in my hometown. Outside a bar, man.
So you were like, rage came up.
Boom! Right. The rage came up, and then I started laughing. I said, I think what I have to do is get some Windex and a towel, huh, son? But for a minute there,
you were gone.
When two words came out of my mouth,
mm-hmm.
He backed up a foot, man.
Mm-hmm.
He backed up a foot, and I thought, wow, there it is. And then, very quickly, I owned it, and I said, well, since that's not true, this is what I said in my head. Since rage isn't appropriate, what is appropriate?
And what was your answer?
Windex and a towel.
Yeah. So do you think our challenge is, as we try to evolve to go to the next level, is to try to instantaneously change a lifetime worth of a programming in an hour or a day just because we came to a class? Or would it be to learn how to re-perceive the reactions that we've been programmed to have?
That's the only choice I have. Right
that, that see, that's what I'm beginning to see. Like I was talking to somebody yesterday. It's like they beat themselves. They were beating themselves up because they get upset, and I see that so much teaching, and I realize that that's a trick of the ego to make you beat yourself up because you can't always be peaceful all day. That it would take you closer to your spiritual goal if you could get upset all day and not get upset about getting upset all day.
Well, what's cool is after I wiped it up, I was at peace.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. You felt it, you looked at it another way, and you moved on. Now, that process that process didn't last very long, but there, I bet you there was a time in your life where that with the rage would have just gone. Right. That's what I'm seeing he's saying right here. You know, as you begin to see that accepting that you're the one that has the peace and you're the one that has the conflict in your own mind, then that's your salvation. Anybody else have any questions or anything that came to them as a result of this?
In my experience, and this is the hard part for me, is the person that triggers the upset, I'm starting to learn to be my saviors rather than my antagonists.
That's a miracle. See, that's what the Course defines as a miracle. It's a miracle when you see the antagonist as your savior. I mean, that's a miracle.
Yeah, well, it's hard. It's like, I don't want to see them as my savior.
That's right. But then that's the key, and that's the key phrase. I don't want to see them as my savior. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't want to see them as my savior. So again, that's my choice.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, I could see. See, I just think if you were my savior, I'm supposed to necessarily feel good about you.
See, I
just
think that's not.
And that's not always. In most cases, it's not the case. In most cases, your savior will actually be someone that makes you aware of a pattern or something that's going on within yourself that you're limiting yourself about that you didn't know about. That's why relationships are so powerful, because you can tell yourself you're peaceful, you can tell yourself you're loving, you can tell yourself you love yourself, and then you find yourself in relationships that reflect anything but that back to you. And so that person, again, they're letting you know that there's something going on, some type of guilt, some type of fear, some type of a sense of unworthiness in your thought that needs to be reperceived and needs to be purged. That's what they're doing. They're keeping you from being, but they also make you aware of the love in you. I think I need to emphasize that too. I think people focus on that too much too. That also, if you're around people, and when you're around them, you make yourself feel really good about yourself. They're also triggering in you the part of yourself that loves yourself and the part of you that appreciates yourself. So the trigger isn't always just being triggered in a negative way. The trigger is also when I feel good, that's a trigger. I'm with you and all of a sudden I feel really good. What it really is, I feel good inside myself, and you got me in touch with the goodness that I feel inside myself. Yeah.
Just as he was talking, feeling the emotion, feeling the feel. And sometimes I'm surprised, like, oh, I'm having a reaction. I didn't expect that at all.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, by allowing yourself to feel it and then go into it and say, okay, why? What's going on here? For me, it's always the self-inquiry. It does really help it.
It really does.
Yeah, to try to block it, then you're like, well, something happened. I don't really know what it was. But it's like, oh, I'm really feeling hurt. I'm really feeling bad. I'm really feeling bad. And kind of go through it. My other comment, just to... For me, it helps to be prepared to know if I'm going into a situation. Now, be careful. Sometimes this woman triggers you.
Yeah, it's cool. You know, you pretty much know those people. A lot of situations, you know the people beforehand, right?
So it's like, you know, something might, and so I'll go in and I'll be like, hey, you know, and I'll just go in. It just kind of prepares me. It's like, you can get upset, or you can, or maybe you're still going to get upset, but it kind of keeps that consciousness with me, which I think is really good.
Because we pretty much know the people who are our catalyst. If we be honest, we know the situations. Like for some people, it's not even a person, the situation, money. Like you can think you're really, really cool, doing cool, till something around money comes up. And all of a sudden, I was looking at Oprah the other day, and it was a real interesting segment that they were doing. She did a show on what happens to people after they have windfalls of money. Like everybody wants to win the lottery or whatever, but what happens? And it was interesting that most of them had more lessons after they won the lottery than they did before, in terms of how people reacted to them. People and relatives and friends coming out the woodwork, and begging for money. You know, they were just amazed at or accusing them of changing, but just because, you know, they were projecting. Right. But what the most interesting one for me was, they took this guy. He was a homeless guy that lived on the street. and he, you know, ate out of the dumpsters and, you know, all that stuff. And they put a briefcase in one of the dumpsters that had $100,000 in it. And so he got the briefcase, and they told him, you know, we're giving you $100,000. And they also were giving him job offers and stuff like that. And he blew through the money. He didn't accept the jobs. And then he, in other words, he ended up exactly where he was when he started. Not only did he get the money, they also was willing to give him clothes, to help him get employment, everything else. He ended up, and at the end of it, he was even trying to blame other people for the fact that he ended up back on the street again. And over saying, you know, at what point are you going to, like, take a look at the role that you played in what happened? Because you were given the money, you were given the assistance. And then he stopped for a minute and he went, well, I believe that there's just something wrong with me. There's something going on inside of me. Then he went, and I really don't want to, I got a problem with authority, and I really don't want to have to follow anybody else. So basically, she said, well, basically what you're saying is that deep down inside, the way you're living right now is basically the way you really want to live, you know, because none of the alternatives are something that interests you. And he went, and he stopped for a minute and he said, you know, you're right. You know, it's like, and you'll see this over and over and over again, where you know, people really are where they want to be ultimately. There are some situations that, of course, there's some people you can reach out to them and they'll really go for it. But the vast majority of people would rather complain about where they are much more than they'd rather take responsibility for it and then do something to change it, you know. And so it goes right back to consciousness again. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. His consciousness, even if you gave him $100,000, his consciousness still recreated him being homeless on the street. And I bet you that's true with a lot of people. I see it with a lot of things. It's like I see a person be in a relationship and it doesn't work out, and then they'll go in another relationship and they have the exact same, pretty much the exact same experience that they had before. And then they'll leave that relationship. So it's like, just like the homeless person again. It's like they're basically meeting their consciousness level around relationship, or their consciousness level around money, or their consciousness level. And so it's, but the key is when she drew it back to him, and then he went, you know, maybe it's something in me that I need to take a look at. But to be able to do that without blaming yourself is what the course is trying to support us in doing. It's, you know, don't look within and then blame, then start beating yourself up, which is the way that it's often done.
And that's so liberating, I think. I mean, so many people who want to do good, or they want to save the world, or they want to help the children and the starving and the war. And, you know, I just listen to people talk, and there's so much to get angry at, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're all getting angry, and it's like, there's nothing to get angry at. That's his choice.
Right.
Or even talking about the state of the world, or like the state of what the world is in. For me, it's like the state of the world is, I mean, my world's a really beautiful, peaceful place.
Mm-hmm.
So when people talk about all the crap that's going on out there, I guess it's going on out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really my world. By the way, I just want to mention that there was a homeless person on the road this morning, and I didn't know what to do. You know, and my instinct was just give something, and don't judge it, or is he real, or is he fake, or whatever. And there was kind of that pause, and I guess I asked the question, like, I'm not sure what to do, and the car in front of me reached out and gave money.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the sign, and I did it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the right thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like if you're moved by spirit to give, you just give. And if it's not you that's supposed to give, you won't want to give. That's the way I look at it. It's like, who is I supposed to give to? Who I want to.
Yeah.
who is it I'm not supposed to get to? Who I don't want to. It's like, that's how I know divine order. You know, but if I feel guilty about not giving to you, then again, I'm punishing myself. I'm just punishing myself about the way I'm treating you, which would have to be my ego again, you know. So, the next paragraph says, it may not, however, be clear to you why the recognition that guilt is in your own mind entails the realization that innocence is there as well. God, I love that, God wouldn't have put the remedy for the sickness where it can't help. He says that's the way your mind is worked, but hardly God's. God wants you to be healed. So God has kept the source of healing where the need for healing lies. You've tried to do just the opposite, making every attempt, however distorted and fantastic it might be, to separate the healing from the sickness for which it was intended, and thus keep the sickness. In other words, your purpose was to ensure that healing didn't occur. God's purpose was to ensure that it did. What y'all think about that?
You have an answer for your illness or sickness. I mean, you have it. Everybody's looking for the answer.
What I like to do, especially like, you know, when we have small groups like this, is to get a chance to really go through it and discuss it together. Because it, when we bring it back out of ourselves, is when it sticks with us. That's the thing that I notice about learning something. Every time I bring something back out of me, then I'll remember it. And so when I look, so whenever I read the course, I try to go back, look at it and say, well, what is it? What is the point that Holy Spirit is trying to make in this, these two paragraphs? Earl, don't come up with your own personal answer, but Earl, what is it that he's telling you right now from these two paragraphs? And I loved it when he said, you know, God wouldn't put the remedy for the sickness where it can't help. The remedy, if the problem is in my mind, then the solution isn't in the world.
See, I've been getting that for the past couple of months.
Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. That's like this. I've been really in a very intense level of learning this year. There's something about this year amped everything way up. And that one is a big one. Because I used to look for the answers in the world, or I would look for the answer in another person, and I said, well, how come I can't find the answer? And then the book says point blank. Well, that's not where the answer is. The answer is what he said in the earlier paragraphs. Is in what? Where? My own mind. He says, so if God wants me to be healed, then God is going to put the healing where the sickness is. And so if the sickness is in my mind, then I'm going to be healed in my mind. And that's what makes the course so different from other teachings to me, is that it's only focused on your mind and your perception, where most people wanted to fix their physical reality. And he keeps saying, well, I can't fix your physical reality. I can fix your mind. And in fixing your mind, your physical reality is going to be fixed.
I wish they would teach that in schools.
Wouldn't that be great?
Because I was thinking about wanting to be an artist, and everyone says, well, you need to make a portfolio, you need to market, you need to get out there. And that's all true. And
That's all true.
But I realized, but if my mind is not what it should be, just like that, the homeless person, it's not going to work.
That's right. That's exactly
right. And I realized that. So that's what I've been working on.
That's another miracle.
There you go.
See, that's what I'm saying. Your mind is obviously being healed. That's it. See, when I hear you talk, and I hear you talk like that, then I know you're going to be all right. I don't know when.
Yeah, that's what I'm wanting to know.
When is up to you in a way, right?
Yeah.
But at least you know you're looking for the solution where it's located. You know what I'm saying? It's like I used to look for the solution where it wasn't even located. So I was like guaranteed not to succeed. Now, yeah, I got some screwed up thoughts in my mind that need to be healed.
Yeah.
But at least I know it's in my mind that needs to be healed. So at least finally I'm working in the area that it will actually bring about a solution, you know. And that's what I hear you doing. It's like, you're right. And it's funny how the Spirit must be trying to get this message across, because that's the same thing that what we were talking about last night in that conversation. It was like, you know, the person will say, well, you know, if you just change the story you're telling yourself, then everything on the outside is going to change. I said, ultimately, that's true, but there are some situations where, and the Course says it too, where if the old thought system has too deep of a hold on you, then you make an external shift in order to support you making an internal change. So it's not like there's something wrong with you going out doing something in the world to change your life.
Right.
As long as you recognize that it's a reflection of a change of mind that you're trying to create within yourself. That's the difference.
Yes.
You know, yeah, I'm, like you said, I believe I deserve to be a successful artist. And I go out and then I do presentations of my painting. But if I don't believe I deserve to be a successful artist, I can put paintings up all over town And even if they sow, I still would make myself miserable. Because we've seen many instances of people who are Britney Spears right now has a deep call for love.
Yes.
And Anna Nicole Smith had a deep call for love. So you can have the outer thing, but if you have some internal demons that are working on you, you are just as miserable as the person who didn't have the fame. And there are people who have a lot of physical things who are happy and who are internally peaceful. And there are people who don't have very much material things that are happy and internally peaceful. So sometimes people try to make it like, well, if you do have all that stuff, you're not happy on the inside. Sorry, there are some rich folk that's kicking it up today, and they're having a good time, and they're loving people, and they're helping people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That was the thing in my family, the Irish.
It was what?
That they were strong, Democrats, blue-collar workers.
Mm-hmm.
So when I wanted to go to college or have nice things and work hard for them, I noticed that I held myself back because their belief was that if you were rich, you weren't happy. And I was like, no, you can be rich and giving and loving and be happy. And I still fight that with my family to this day. But I know that that's impacted me holding myself back.
See, that's the miracle. That's the miracle. Is that you're saying it's impacted me holding myself back. So I know you're gonna be okay. See, that's what I'm saying. I know all of us are gonna be okay because we keep looping it back to somehow or another it's connected to us, and we do it so much that sometimes I think we forget how few people really do that. You know what I'm saying? It's like we have our groups and stuff, and we hang out, we study the course. And I'm surrounded by people because of my focus in the truth who will say these sort of things. But sometimes I forget how much it's still an uncommon attitude until I just go out into the general public and deal with the general public. Then I realize that there's still very much that belief is prevalent that it's everybody else's fault. And then when you say that, and when you indicate that it wasn't, because that's what I was watching in that conversation I had tonight, that what was bothering the person was not, the thing that was bothering the person the most was the fact that I kept saying that I was going to do the changes that I needed to make within myself, and there were certain things in my life that I was no longer going to accept anymore, and even to the point of being willing to change relationships or release relationships.
Yeah.
And when you say that to people who are very codependent, they get very upset. Nothing is more upsetting to them than the thought of somebody releasing them, even if they are making the person miserable. And the person is making them miserable. That's the funnest part about it. It's like, because their perception of relationship is that no matter how miserable it is and how much you attack each other, if you're committed, you just keep on with this grind, even if it's not working and neither person wants to change, you still just hang in there. And you think about like the older generation before us said, we got married, so it's gonna be the death do us part, no matter how miserable we are. And
it takes more courage to release it.
It takes a lot more courage to release something, and also it takes a lot more self love. You know, it's like you really have to love yourself enough to not want to suffer all the time. If you believe love is sacrifice, then you're going to sacrifice over and over and over again and think that that's love. And so it doesn't make sense to me now. And so when I say stuff to people, to me it's not like I'm judging anymore. It's like, it just doesn't make sense. But they'll get really, sometimes it'll trigger them and they'll get really upset. And it's like, well, but you mean it makes sense to you to be in a relationship where both of you all attacking each other all the time, and neither one of y'all want to make a change in yourselves, and each person is trying to make the other person change? That really makes sense to you. And it, you know what? It really does. It, you know what I'm saying? I had to just let it go because I realized that in their perception of reality, love was sacrifice.
Right.
So therefore, they did believe that you just keep sacrificing and keep sacrificing no matter what you're experiencing out of it, the ones you've chosen to be in. You know, so it's the same thing. They don't realize that their happiness comes from within themselves and it doesn't come from another person. So
the heavy duty with that is, we talked about Catholic already, and while you were talking, that book on Disappearance of the Universe, you said the most powerful two words in the Course of Miracles, God is.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said, God wants me to be healed?
Yeah, and I love okay. that. Yeah, you say, God wants me to be healed.
The remedy is available.
Mm-hmm.
It's in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I never heard that in catechism ever.
No, it says right there in the Bible, Jesus says point blank in the Bible, don't you know that ye are God's? I never heard that once said in church the whole time I went to church. I never heard a minister look at the congregation and say, you are God's.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Yeah.
And if
no.
you said that, you were being blasphemy or part of the
right.
whole.
I
right.
gave a copy of the CD of the Conversations of God to my grandma, and she just was like,
yeah.
Well, it's all right,
don't kill your grandma off, man. That needs some more guilt. That needs some more guilt, you know what I'm saying?
See, that little altar boy in me always wanted to believe this.
Yeah, or Jesus.
I always thought, wait a second, because I looked around my family and I thought, now check this out, listen. You're going to be okay with me after my brother Frank dies.
Right.
Because of me.
Right.
Because of these sins
right.
that I do,
right.
you're going to kill him,
right.
and then you're going to be okay with me. That never makes it, but I went along with it, man.
That's why, you know, the Course says, you. I love it, he says, you don't try to understand insanity. You don't try to understand confusion. And the way I was taught from the world is you try to understand it, and the Course says, you don't try to understand it, because if you understand it, he says, then you can appreciate it. And if you can appreciate it, you can love it. And if you can love it, it says you'll draw it to you. So every time I try to understand the insanity of another person, I'm actually asking for it in my own life. He says, no, you just focus on the truth. You don't try to understand the illusion. You just focus on the truth. You live by the truth. And even in my own spiritual work for years, I had done it incorrectly. I thought that it was about me trying to understand a person's ego and understanding their illusion and understanding. He says, no, you just see it as a call for God, but you don't try to understand it. So he's saying here, like he says, that line where he says, your purpose was to ensure that healing did not occur. That reminds me of the homeless guy. He says, God's purpose was to ensure that the healing did. He said, today we practice realizing that God's will and ours are really the same on this. So your will being one with God's means God wants us to be healed and we don't want to be sick because it makes us unhappy. Therefore, in accepting the idea for today, we are really in agreement with God. In other words, God doesn't want us to be sick and unhappy and guilty. Neither do we. God wants us to be healed. So do we. He says that's what it means by my will and God's will are the same. I want to be peaceful and happy, and God wants me to be peaceful and happy. My will and God's will are the same. He says, now we read it for too long a practice periods. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, I'm going to go over to the part that he says, we're going to add a statement that signifies your recognition that salvation comes from nothing outside of you. He says, you might put it this way. My peace comes from me. It cannot come from anywhere else. Which is, my salvation comes from me. It can't come from anywhere else. Then he says, devote a few minutes with your eyes closed to reviewing some of the external places you've looked for peace in the past. He says, review. You've looked for peace in other people. You look for peace in possessions. You look for peace in various situations and events. You look for peace in self-concepts that you sought to make real. See, I'm no longer trying to look for peace in possessions and external things, but I used to go to, now I'm going to find peace in a concept that I have about myself. So then I would come up with ideas about myself that I thought would make me feel peaceful, right? So that's looking for peace and concepts. I went, whoa, that's another level.
Because I do
that. I go, okay, I'll just have this image of myself as just such and such. He said, okay, now you're looking for peace in a concept about yourself. He says, tell yourself, my salvation or peace can't come from any of these things. My salvation or peace comes only from me. And then he says, now we'll try again to reach the light in you, which the Course describes as the truth in you. And it says, now we'll try to reach the truth in you, which is where your salvation is. You can't find the truth in you in the clouds. So what would be the clouds? The clouds would be the ego, it would be the fear, it would be the guilt. He says you can't find it in the illusion. And he says that surrounds the light. It's in them you've been looking for it. It's like you looking for your grandmother to say you are God. You know what I'm saying? It's like we're looking for your family to say it's okay for you to be rich. That would be like looking for it in the clouds, because they are not going to take that stand. So if I look for them,
when I said it to her, I was very conscious about thinking to myself that I am not attached to the outcome.
There you go.
And so we didn't really have a very long conversation. I just said, you know, this is how you know what I'm doing in my life, and how you know me a little closer.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, as the years have gone by, we have better conversations now.
Because you didn't look for the truth in her.
And I still hear her saying the same thing that I'm saying. And so it doesn't matter what she calls it, or what she says it, or that she goes to church and does it in the Catholic Church. You know, it's still all good, because she gets her strength from spirit.
Right. Absolutely. 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 I've met some people who studied the Bible who are the most loving, giving people you ever want to meet. But that's because that's the way they are.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, since that's the way they are, then they use the Bible for a loving purpose. The purpose that the person is judgmental and critical. I see people use the Course in Miracles to judge and beat other people up, and you know what I'm saying? So, you know, if you want to judge and beat people up and condemn, you can use the Course to do it. You can use anything to do it if that's the kind of person you are. You know, that's not the kind of person she is. But what I used to do was I would look for the world to tell me the truth. And the world isn't going to tell me the truth. I have to tell me the truth, and then I'll see it in the world. And I had to reverse the whole process. So he says it is past the truth is not in the clouds of the ego, it's past the clouds and in the light beyond. Remember you will have to go through the clouds.
Yeah, that's the tricky part.
That's the tricky part. Right? To me, it's almost like, you know, you have to go through the fear. You go through the guilt. That's what you were saying about you felt your rage, but the truth is you went through your rage.
That's right.
And then you came out the other side of your rage and went, let me get some Windex. See, some people stay in their rage.
See, that's what I found.
Me too. We all do it. That's why we have to be. That's why forgiveness is simply us really being gentle with ourselves for those errors of programming and projection that we're going to do for a while we're still changing. And like he said, you must go through the clouds before you can reach the light. But remember also, he said, great instructions. He says, remember also that you have never found anything in the cloud patterns you imagined that endured, that you wanted. I mean, you're right. There's not one single thing I've ever found in the outer world that has lasted and not changed. There's no physical thing that I've ever had in my life that didn't change. There's nothing out there, he says, nothing of the illusion lasts forever. He says, since all illusions of salvation and peace have failed you, surely you don't want to remain in the clouds looking vainly for idols there, when you could so easily walk on into the light of real salvation. Try to pass the clouds by whatever means appeals to you. If it helps you, think of me holding your hand and leading you. That's a very powerful visual. Imagine Jesus, or imagine love, or imagine truth holding your hands and leading you. He says, and I assure you, this will be no idle fantasy. For the short and frequent practice periods today, remind yourself that your salvation comes from you. It means your innocence and your peace comes from you. And nothing, he said, remind yourself that nothing but your own thoughts can hamper your progress. Nothing but my own thoughts can hamper my progress. Nothing but my own thoughts can hamper my progress. Nothing but my own thoughts can stop me. Nothing but my own thinking can stop me. It's okay to take it and put it in. He says in the workbook, in the earlier part of it, that it's okay to change the words as long as you don't change the meaning. So,
which lesson was this?
This is lesson 70. Lesson 70 and lesson 71, I live with those two. especially when I'm getting upset. Like, it's because they're the ones that really hammer it home that it's not the outside that's going to heal this. And then he says, for the short and frequent practice periods today, remind yourself that your salvation or peace comes from you, and nothing but your own thoughts can hamper your progress. You are free from all external interference. So what a great affirmation of truth. I am free from all external interference. I am free from all external interference. I am free from all external interference. Then it says, you are in charge of your salvation. That's the same as what? I'm in charge of my peace. I'm in charge of my innocence. He says, and so therefore you are in charge of the salvation of the world. And then the Course defines the world as what? Your perception. So you are in charge of the peace of your perception, the healing of your perception, the innocence of your perception. So then he gives us one last thing to tell ourselves to heal. My salvation comes from me. Nothing outside of me can hold me back. Within me is the world's salvation and my own. So we say, if the whole thing is about guilt and innocence today, then we could say, my innocence comes from me. Nothing outside of me can hold me back. Within me is the world's innocence and my own. Innocent salvation is also what? Peace. My peace comes from me. Nothing outside of me can hold me back. Within me is the world's peace and my own. So if I was in a situation where I was being tempted to be upset with somebody, if I could have the sanity to stop long enough and say to myself, okay, it looks like you're upsetting me right now, but the truth is, my peace comes from me. Nothing outside of me can hold me back. Within me is the world's peace and my own. That would help shift my perception a lot faster if I could go, okay, I'm getting upset. I'm forgetting that my salvation comes from me. Nothing outside of me can hold me back. You can't hold me back. Nothing outside of me can hold me back. Within me is the world's salvation and my own. What a great lesson. So stop here. Wow. Boy, I needed that today. Did y'all need that too? I really needed that today. And my call for God, my abundance comes from me. My abundance comes from me. The big me. The big capital M me. The God me. My abundance comes from me. I'm free from all external interference. So be it.
Wow.
So we just that to learn how to trust in something beside the outer, because it's always inconsistent. So you really get a chance to see that there's something other than the outer that's taking care of you. And to me, that's the greatest gift that I could ever receive, is to get this sense that there's something invisible that's taking care of me, and at the same time, completely appreciate who's in front of you right now, because he says, you know, nobody is missing that you need. You know what I'm saying? It's like whoever is in front of you, that's exactly who's supposed to be in front of you, and that's exactly who you need in front of you. So it's always interesting to see who I need and who's helping me make it to the other side now. You know, so I want you to know how much I appreciate you all and how much I appreciate you all coming. And if you have something else to do, you're innocent in doing it, because you have to be wherever you have to be also. But you're here right now, and I just want to make sure that I let you know how much I appreciate that, and you're innocent wherever you are. Because I don't know where I'll be. You know what I'm saying? There's no guarantee I'll always be here either, you know. So I'm really learning a lot about being in the now. That used to sound like such an abstract kind of a saying about, well, you got to be in the now. You know, and more I'm beginning to learn as I evolve and wake up spiritually that's the only thing that's real. That's where our power is. It's only, this is now. And so everything that's going to come into my life has to come through this instant. This now instant. And what came through this instant for an hour? The truth that will free me from all future pain. You know what I'm saying? And so what could be more important and more valuable than that? So, and there's also a big transformation going on in the inside of me, and I've always noticed, and many of you heard me say it before, every time there's a change on the inside of me, there's always a change on the outside of me. And so I have to remember that. That's normal for transition and change. So if you're going through any kind of transitions and changes right now, I would invite you to do the same thing and to realize that it's all for your own best interest. That whatever changes that are happening right now in our lives, it's really a blessing in disguise or not in disguise. But it's something cool happened, and so we should stay in that space of gratitude. You know, and so I'm completely grateful for you. And thanks for coming today. Appreciate it.
This is a good time for me.
Is it?
Having those Wednesday at noon really works well for my schedule. So, You know, I've been coming and it's different every time, but Thursday night is kind of far away from me, from where I live. Sunday comes out, but, you know, I appreciate.
Well, I like I said, you know, it feels good to me when I can share processes that are going on. You know, I'm very much committed. Spirit always makes it real obvious if I'm supposed to like not do something or do something, and I'm still committed and I'm still dedicated. But it's just always interesting to me to just watch all the different changes and stuff, you know. And then ask myself, well, what's the gift in it, you know? And right now, I realize that there's a real gift in hearing your thoughts and the discussion that we have and where we are. It's really needed. That's a good thing.
Yeah. And this is the pearl of great price, here, brother.
Yeah.
This is the pearl of great price.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've gotten in my consulting. I try not to consult on Wednesdays because, as we've shared before, your energy and your vehicle is very important to me because of the lessons I had before this.
And thank you for saying that, because the thing that I've noticed, it's very tempting when you do anything to get into a quantity or a numbers game.
Yeah.
You know, it's very easy to get into a numbers game, and that's the trick of the ego. And that's what I always have to remember. You know, it's a trick of the ego. It's always about the content. It's never really about the form.
Yeah, but you're one fine vehicle, brother.
Well, thank you, brother. I'm so glad you see it that way.